your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. There, the beginning of your Bible, not far from the book of Genesis there, the book of Leviticus chapter 25. And once again, at the end of the service, we will be having our fellowship back there with Brother Fred. And I want to preach with a message God's laid on my heart. Originally, I thought I was going to preach this morning. As I explained to you this morning that God changed my direction last night. So tonight, so this evening, we're going to do our best to preach this. Once again, there's certain subjects in the Bible. You feel like it's just such a massive subject. And especially when it comes to the book of Leviticus. I think there's a lot of people that are guilty, and I have been guilty. I'm going to go ahead and say, you get to the book of Leviticus sometimes, and you're reading, but you're kind of reading, and you're kind of skimming, and you're trying to understand all that's being said here. And, well, Bible school will cure you of that, because they actually have to write papers about some of this stuff, and you can't just skim read past some of those things. But I do want to look at something here. The title of this message is going to be The Acceptable Year of the Lord. The Acceptable Year of the Lord. And we're going to talk about the year of Jubilee. Has anybody ever heard of that before? Kind of familiar with it? And I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm some special prophet that's telling you that the year 2019 is going to be a year of Jubilee. I know we have a lot of those men that'll stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, I guarantee thee this year will be a year of Jubilee. I'll tell you that it can be. It's conditional. You have to obey and live the walk and do what you need to do in Christ Jesus, and you can enjoy rest. But tonight, I just want to kind of focus on this and do my best to explain it. And we're going to start reading there at verse 8. And we'll start reading there. Follow with me if you would, because I'm not sure where I'm going to stop at. Amen. Leviticus 25 and verse 8. It says, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto to thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Notice verse 10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return unto every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine or thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. It is the year of this jubilee. You shall return every man unto his possession. I'm going to stop there. We can read a little further, and maybe we may. If you want to leave your Bibles open, it might be handy as we're reading through this. But I want to talk to you once again about the acceptable year of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 25 is a very unique chapter. The reason I say that is because I really need you to pay attention so I can lay this foundation. In this chapter, the Bible describes what they call the Sabbath year, and they also describe what is called the year of Jubilee. Now, many of us probably are familiar with what a Sabbath day is. A Sabbath day is 1 in 7. We realize that their seventh day is a day of rest. And it's one of those things that we understand that is a day that the Jewish people, on Saturday, it would be a day of rest. Let me go ahead and break news to you that Sunday is not the Sabbath. Okay, the Christian, this is the Lord's day, but it is not the Sabbath. Saturday would be the Sabbath. In Leviticus chapter 23, you would notice that the Jewish calendar was based on a series of sevens. There were 7 annual feasts, 3 of them in the 7th month, and the 7th day of the week, that was the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. But what we're going to look at before we talk about the year of Jubilee, we're going to look at what they called the Sabbath year. Now, if you'll notice there in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 25, I'm not going to read all of this to you, but understand that it says to us, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. So I want you to notice something real quick about this. It's pretty interesting as we begin to look at this. They had this, what was called the Sabbath. Sabbath year. And what the Sabbath year was is that the seventh year would be a year of rest for the land. Now, once again, we're not talking about the Sabbath day. We're talking about a Sabbath year. And during that Sabbath year, think about this. And if you're a working man, you might understand how exciting this would be. But for a whole year, the men, you did not do any agricultural work. You did not till the fields. You did not prune the vines. Basically, what they did for a whole year, they just allowed, it was basically like a sabbatical, I guess you could say. It was a year of rest. It was a time in which that they did not have to labor in the fields. They did not have to bring in the harvest. They did not have to till the ground. They did not have to go into the vineyards and bring the grapes in and all these things. They did not have to do those things because it was set aside as a year of rest. Now, this is amazing because when we think about this, could you imagine this room right now that once every 7 years that everybody here that works, they tell you, look, don't go to work. Just don't worry about going to earn that paycheck. Just take a year and take it easy. I want you to rest. I want you to take it easy. I don't want you to go out and exert yourself. But understand this, the reason that they did this is so that the land would have rest. It was an idea of a Sabbath of this year to which the land would have rest. And you would actually find this in Deuteronomy chapter 31, that as you read about these things, what they would actually do during this time is that during the Sabbath rest, they would actually take time and study the scriptures and study the word and all these different things. Could you men and women imagine having a whole year of not having to work? I mean, of course you would have to maintain your home and certain things like that. There were certain duties you would have to fulfill. But could you imagine having a whole year where you got to study the law of God? You gave the land rest. You didn't have to till the soil. You gave the animals rest so you wouldn't have to have them out in the fields and you didn't have to go out there and exert yourself. It was a time of rest. It was a Sabbath year. It was something that God had commanded for them to do. Why was that, Brother Derek? What gave God the right to do such a thing? What gave him the right to tell the children of Israel that when they get into the land, that they were to take a year and they were not to till the soil and they were not to go into the vineyards? Why did God have a right to do this? Because understand this, God owned the land that they were going into. Don't ever be deceived or fooled to think that we or any of us earn the blessings that God gives us. We are to be stewards of God's good things. We are to be stewards of the money that He gives us. We are to be steward of all the finances and all of these things. We are to be good stewards of these things because God blesses us with those things, and we are to be good stewards of those things. They were to let the land rest. They were to allow the ground to replenish in its nutrients and all these things. But understand this here this evening. The children of Israel, when we study the Bible, failed to keep the Sabbath year. You do not find in records in the scripture where they obeyed this command. But I want you to look with me if you would. If you have your Bibles there, I want you to follow along. If not, then you just have to hear me do the best of my ability to explain this to you. But hear what it says about this in Leviticus chapter 26. It says in Leviticus chapter 26, and I'm going to skip around a little bit in the chapter. But it says in Leviticus chapter 26, and if you, in verse 27, and if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then will I walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will even chastise you 7 times for your sins. How many understands this evening? If you walk contrary to God, He has every right to walk contrary to you. Okay, listen. I'm not one of those that believe in painting God as some sort of moral monster, because I know He's not. But I'm also not going to preach the sloppy agape either. I don't believe in greasy grace either. to where I am allowed to walk against God and walking contrary to God and in spite of His word and His truth and the dealing of His Spirit, that I'm allowed to walk contrary to Him. Because if God ever walks contrary to me, He has every right to do so if I am a disobedience to His word. So understand what happens here. And once again, I don't have time to expound on all of this here in the book of Leviticus, but when they did this, they did not honor the Sabbath year. Once again, what that is, a Sabbath year is once every 7 years giving the land rest. When they did not honor that, God chastised them by sending them into Babylon. And listen to what it says in Leviticus 26 and verse 20 and verse 34. Then when they go into Babylon, he says in verse 33, when he scatters the nation, verse 34, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. So if they refuse to keep the Sabbath year, God was going to send them into exile, and while they were in exile, the land was going to rest. How many realize when you're in Babylon, you're not tilling soil in Israel? How many realize is when you're in Babylon, you're not picking grapes off the vine in Judah? He said, if you will not honor what I am saying, this is my commandment unto you. This is something I have commanded to happen. They failed to keep that. And I also listen what it says in 2 Chronicles 36 and 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years, the land of Judah enjoyed her Sabbath, and the land rested, because the children of Israel would not obey the commandment of the Lord of the Sabbath year. How many realize the Bible is its best interpreter? How many realize when God says something, He means it? We've moved away from language such as covenant. We've moved away from language such as the covenant truth. When I enter into a covenant with God, there are some things about my relationship with Him that He requires of me to do certain things. He even tells the children of Israel, if you do not keep my laws and my commandments, a foreign nation will come in among you and will conquer you and take you away. I will not send the rain. I will not send blessing. God has no requirement to bless us. But the good thing is, if you do live according to His word, there's a promise that He will bless you. This brings us to the second point I want to make tonight. We were just talking about the Sabbath year. Now we're going to look at what we call the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. The word Jubilee is used 6 times in verses 8 through 17. And it literally means to sound a trumpet, is what the word means. For the people of Israel, each year opened, and it's amazing because I know we don't do this in our American culture, but in the 7th month of each year, the children of Israel would actually open up with a trumpet blast, and it would start a brand new year. And I'm not up here tonight blowing a trumpet or anything like that, starting a new year, but here in their nation and their culture, they would blow a trumpet to start a new year. Then they would celebrate the Day of Atonement, and this was something that they would do every single year. But understand this, there was something different about the year of Jubilee. Now, I'm not real good at math, but I can do a little bit of math, all right? I'm not going to tell you what math I graduated with. I will tell you this, when I'm going to college, I'm having to take some math classes, I'm telling you that. But the year of Jubilee was at the end of 7 Sabbath years. 7 years, what's 7 times 7? 49, okay. The Bible, once again, lays claims to this, and you can add it up yourself. So here, that 49th year is already a Sabbath year. They're not going into the fields, the animals are resting, and they're not plucking the grapes, and they're not bringing in a harvest. They're just letting the land replenish on the 49th year. But notice what God says in Leviticus chapter 25 here. He says, look, on that 49th year, it is a Sabbath year, but that 50th year is going to be a year of Jubilee. And guess what? During the year of Jubilee, likewise, they were not allowed to go and till the fields and to pluck the vine and also to prune the vineyard and all those things. And still, so how much faith would it take for you If you were one of the children of Israel living in the days of the Old Testament, that you were not allowed to go in the fields and pluck, as far as they were allowed to go, and I'll explain this a little further here. They were allowed to go and take from the vine just what naturally grew there, but they were not allowed to prune the vines and all those things. They were allowed to go there and just take what they needed, kind of reliving what they did there in the wilderness with the manna, getting what they needed every single day. But could you imagine for the 49th and the 50th year, not going into the fields and laboring and working? It would take a special amount of faith. Not only that, then you have the 49th year, you're not doing any of the agricultural work that's natural. And you have the 50th year, but how many knows, I know I've told you this a few times, it sounds more sophisticated than what it was, but I was a grain technician when I lived in North Carolina. I learned a little something about fields. You put the seed in the ground today, but it doesn't mean you have crops tomorrow. Well, you understand what I'm saying? It takes time for it to grow. It takes time for all of a sudden the plant to bring up out of the ground and for the fruit to come forth. So notice this, for the 49th year and the 50th year, going into that other, to the 51st year there, they still would have to have a certain amount of faith because they still had to plant the crops and they still had to wait for it to come in. But I know all of that seems kind of complicated, but I do want to show you a few things about the year of Jubilee that's very simple to understand. And I want to apply those into the year 2019. I want to proclaim unto you that 2019 is the acceptable year of the Lord. 2018 was the acceptable year of the Lord, but so is 2019. During that year of Jubilee, one of the first things that they would do at the beginning of that year, the first thing they would do, and you would find this in verse 9 if you're taking notes, but in verse 9, it started off with the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, you would find in Leviticus chapter 16, actually says words like this. During the Day of Atonement is when the Jews were commanded to afflict themselves and to repent of their sins. Now, a lot of times we hear that word afflict ourselves. And we think to ourselves, well, what in the world is the Bible saying? It's actually saying that they would actually look at themselves, search themselves, and repent of any wrongdoings that they have done in the past. If there's something they had done in the previous year that they need to reconcile with God, they would do the necessary sacrifices. They would do anything they would needed to do before they moved into the year of Jubilee. It was something that they were going to move into a new year with clean hands and a pure heart. They wanted to have their hearts right with God going into the year of Jubilee, because in that new year they were going to be required to do those some things that if their heart wasn't right with God, they would not naturally do them things. I want you to comprehend this right here. There's some people that simply need to forgive somebody, but you're never going to forgive somebody like you need to until you repent of being unforgiving. Repentance is not a bad word, folks. It's a good thing. I'm glad that we can repent. And I know there's all these different shades and definitions of what repentance is nowadays. I realize the world has morphed it into maybe just some sort of psychological term of that I'm just going to do better. And, you know, I used to steal 10 chickens. Now I'll only steal 8. And maybe next year I'll steal 5. And one day I might steal 0 chickens. I hope you never stole a chicken. But that's just old Puritan language for you. But understand this, what repentance is, it's actually going a different direction. It's when you are walking this direction, the word repentance actually simply means this. You ready for this very deep, thought right here? Repentance simply means to turn around. If in 2018 some of you were going down the wrong road, listen, all you got to do is turn around and go the right way. Isn't that good? There's some people, you know, I'm not a golfer, and we've been talking a little bit about golf with someone here in the congregation, and I believe in using mulligans. Unlimited mulligans. And if you don't know it, that's why I like playing by myself most of the time. Nobody's going to say nothing to you if you use all the mulligans you want to use. You know, a do-over? You know, you hit the first one in the woods, and you say, well, I got 50 good balls right here. Why chase that one? I mean, don't it make sense? But aren't you glad in life, and I'm not trying to demean the language of scriptures, but aren't you glad God allows you to do some things over? He allows you to change the circumstances of certain events. Now, I do realize that sin, that there is repercussions in life. I'm not denying that. But I am glad to know that if in 2018, if you did this wrong, or if you had this issue right here, that you can turn around and you can go the other direction. And with time and with discipline and practicing God's word and living, God can restore relationships. I'm glad that we can repent. The year of Jubilee started with a time of repentance. Secondly, listen to what it does. There was also a time of release in that year of Jubilee. Listen to what it says in verse 10. It says to proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Could you imagine on that year of Jubilee, that 50th year, being able to go throughout the land, and if somebody was a slave and somebody had gotten so indebted to their neighbor that they were a slave to them, that you could go throughout the land and you could cry at the top of your voice that it is a year of Jubilee. It is a year of liberty. It is a year that you can be set free. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, 2019 is a year to be set free. As a matter of fact, if you didn't know this, I found this very interesting, because has anybody ever been to the Liberty Bell? If you hadn't ever been there, it's free. It's actually that's my favorite places to go. You know, you go over to that bell, but if you ever go there, you'll actually find Leviticus 25 and 10 actually inscribed on the bell. It says, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants. That's actually inscribed there at Independence Hall in Philadelphia on that bell. Why is that? Because it's freedom. It represents a time of freedom. You don't have to go into 2019 full of bondages and chains and defeat. I'm glad to know there's been some mishaps in 2018 that we don't have to take into 2019. It's a year to be released from the things that have you bound. But nevertheless, there are some that live from year to year, bound in chains and situations. Cannot tell you in my 11 years of ministry how many times, and even at distance from here, you'd sit down with somebody and you'd talk to them and they would say, well, I've been carrying this for 10 years. I've been carrying this for 15 years. But can I tell you don't have to carry those things? It is the acceptable year of the Lord. You don't have to take the failures of yesterday and bring them into a new year. It is the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be released from the bondages. You don't have to be a slave to Satan and sin. You don't have to be in bondage to the lust of the flesh, but you can live in freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. It is a year that you can be released from the prisons of sin. Don't you see why they would walk through the streets and yell at the top of their lungs, and throughout all the land proclaim liberty throughout all of the land? But not only that, in verses 11 through 12, I've already kind of established this, but let me make an application here. It was a year of rest. If there's ever a time that people need rest, it's now. And I'm not talking about a nap. I'm not talking about just kicking your feet up, but I'm talking about true spiritual rest. Why is depression so rampant in the churches? Why is people so discouraged? Why are people so perplexed in their circumstances? And why is it that it didn't take almost anything for people to get upside down in life and to be sitting there so discouraged and then chasing this and that and that, and they think this is going to make it better and that's going to make it better, and so they try this pill or they try that substance or they try that drug or they try alcohol or they try the arms of another lover, but yet they only discover what they're needing is divine rest from God Almighty. This morning when I signed on the internet, on my homepage, news often pops up, and I will tell you 90% of the time it ain't worth reading. But every now and then something will come across and it captures my attention. And the title of this was Famous Celebrities That Died in 2018. And I thought to myself, I said, well, I really don't keep up with Hollywood that much, but I am a little curious. And I clicked on it, and there's 89 of them. And I didn't know there was that many celebrities, but I guess there is. 89 of them that the world deems as celebrities. And I begin to read through them, but every other page, suicide. 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 The list the amount of money they left behind, the mansions they left desolate, the money in the bank account, the marriages that were ruined. And I could go on the list, and I'm not even going to begin to name all the different celebrities up there. I wouldn't be able to. But yet they found this one overdosed on drugs, and they found this one. But yet they got money and mansions and pools, and some of them planes and cars. But what is it? They don't have any rest. Please hear me tonight, believers. If you let this life, it'll wear you out. Oh, yes. God wants you to rest in Him. Come unto me, He would say, and find rest. I'll give you rest. What is He saying? Take all those issues that you struggle with and come to me. Has anybody ever got down on your knees to pray because you just needed rest? If you ever got written into the Word seeking rest, I want to let you know that it is available. But not only that, hear me, not only was there repentance, and not only was there release, and not only was there rest, but hear me, the last thing I'm going to mention here this evening is this. They also had restoration. If you had gotten in a pinch in those days, and I know many of you already know this, but if you had gotten a pinch in those days and you had sold your land to somebody else, if you had sold off your property to get the money to live, and for your family to survive. During the year of Jubilee, they gave you your property back. Isn't that amazing? The children of Israel, you know, because we live in a, you would have to admit, I realize this is Old Testament and it wouldn't work in our economy to give everybody their property back. That'd be a mess, wouldn't it? I don't know who would own Abundant Life Tabernacle, and you probably don't know either. But I will tell you this, in the land of Israel, it was a beautiful system. Because somebody knows there's some people that get in tough times. You know, and they sell that property. You know, they're trying to feed the kids, and you know, they kind of sell themselves into slavery. Take my property, and look, me and my family will work for you. But every time they did that, they did this with a certain amount of hope. In 50 years, my kids are going to get this property back. 50 years from now, everything is going to be made right. This actually protected the children of Israel from ruthless, wealthy real estate people that would accumulate mass pieces of land. It would keep people in an honest fashion. Land was important, and every 50 years, all your debts would be forgiven. You could get out of prison and out of slavery. You could repent and your land would be given back to you. That's amazing, isn't it? But once again, I told you already that the children of Israel never kept the Sabbath year that I mentioned previously. But also, according to Scripture, what I can find, you never find where they kept the year of Jubilee like they were supposed to. But can I tell you right now, let's go ahead and bring this to a New Testament application. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and some of you might even know what I'm about to read. I want to show you that Jesus is our Jubilee. He is our Jubilee. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. This is what it says. I'll give you another second to get there. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Is that familiar language? Is that familiar language? It is, isn't it? Notice it says, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Look, the children of Israel may have never kept the year of Jubilee, but Jesus came and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? He said, and I can read all of it, and I'm not going to apply all of it, but He says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Jubilee year. Go to the book of Luke chapter 4, last reference. Luke chapter 4, quick overview while you're turning there. Jesus has been in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. But here, he leaves the wilderness and the power of the Spirit. He goes to his local synagogue in Nazareth, where he is from. When he goes there, it says in verse 17, there was, and this is Luke chapter 4, verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has sent me and anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The ministry of Christ was one of repentance, release, rest, and restoration. Brothers and sisters, we're going into a new year. Can I proclaim the liberty of the Lord to us as a congregation? That you don't have to go into a new year bound up, beat up, defeated, weary, discouraged, depressed, bound, manipulated, overpowered, oppressed, vexed. I can name all those negative things that happen, tends to happen to people, but you're going into a new year, and guess what? You don't have to wait to the 50th year to have a year of jubilee. You can have a year of jubilee right now. You can get shouting happy any day of the year. Why? Because every day with the Lord is better than any day as a sinner. You look, I promise you right now, my worst day as a believer, I guarantee, is better than your best day as a sinner. There's joy and peace and comfort. Why? Because I'm living in a perpetual year of jubilee. Every day I wake up, there's liberty stamped all over my spirit. Every day that I wake up, I hear the joy of the Lord being echoed from the Word. Every day that I wake up, I feel like I can look at my hands and realize that the shackles are now gone. Every day, I don't have to wait to the 50th year. I don't have to wait to a Sabbath year. Every day is a day of rest for the believer. That's why that's one of the main reasons I don't adhere to the Old Testament Sabbath. Every day is a day of rest. Every day is a day of joy. And it's up to you how you live going into a new year. Stand to your feet tonight. I realize we got to get together here, and I'm not going to tarry long. Does anybody know somebody that needs to hear the good news of the gospel? I take for granted here tonight, I trust that everybody have experienced the joy, the freedom, and the year of jubilee. But it doesn't mean your neighbor has. It doesn't mean that your family has. I want to make a proclamation to you as a congregation. We're not going to come to the altars, because I realize we have this get together there in the back tonight. I'm looking forward to it. But can I make this proclamation, this challenge, this charge to you as a congregation at Abundant Life Tabernacle? Just like the children of Israel were challenged to go through the land and proclaim the liberty of the Lord, will you make your mind up, if you are a born-again believer, to proclaim the liberty of the Lord to those you come in contact with this year? On your job, can you let them know that there's freedom? Can you let them know they don't have to be in slavery, in bondage any longer? Brother Derek, what's the answer if they would just put their faith in Jesus Christ? My mind goes, and I'm closing with this. I mentioned the Pilgrim's Progress this morning. I'm going to mention it again tonight. In the Pilgrim's Progress, there's a beautiful section of that story to where Christian is in the dungeon called despair. And there's a giant that comes in and beats him every single day. And that giant, as he comes in the cell every morning, he finds Christian laying there, and he beats him, and he beats him, and he beats him. And as the giant's walking out of the cell, he looks back at Christian, and he says, "Tomorrow, you're going to kill yourself. Tomorrow, I'm going to kill you." And he even told him, "You ought to just end your life right now. There's no hope for you. There's no joy for you. You're going to be in the dungeon called despair forever." Do you know anybody that lives like that? There's people that live like that. I know it may be hard for some of us believers at times to relate with that, but people live like that, some people every day. But all of a sudden, Christian is laying there in that cell, and he reaches into his bosom, and he pulls out a key, and it's a key called promise. And there, as he looks at that door, there's somebody by the name of Hope, if I get it right, looks at him and says, "Hey, Christian, my name is Hope. You've got a promise. You don't have to go here." And as he walked over to that door, he took that key called promise, opened the door, and went into freedom. Brothers and sisters, we have promises. We have a new year. And I don't want to go into a new year. I don't know exactly what all of you faced, but I'm going to tell you, I looked at my own life. I said, "God, I want 2019. I don't feel like 2018 has been horrible by no means, but I want 2019 to be a greater year, a year of liberty, a year of proclamation, a year of evangelism, a year of evangelism and power in ministry. God, let it be." If you desire to proclaim that liberty, if you're here tonight and you do not have the liberty, you do not have that release, that joy and fulfillment, I want to let you know it's a year of jubilee because Jesus is fulfilled. Right now, can we pray and ask God to help us this year? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would come by here at Abundant Life Tabernacle on this Sunday night. God, it is the acceptable year of the Lord. God, a year of rest, a year of repentance, a year of restoration. God, I would that you would restore all that the enemy has taken. God, I would that those that need to repent would repent and turn from their sins and go the other way. I would for those that lack peace and joy and hope in their life, they would find rest. God, every day, every year is the acceptable year of the Lord with Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait to the 50th year. We don't have to wait for another time. But God, we're trusting you, God, to minister and to move in a mighty way. God, touch your people. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, you're true and faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Fred, I want to do something a little different. Can you come up here, Brother Fred?